of you. You know, it's good to be in God's holy sanctuary on His holy day. Amen. I entitled this sermon, Wait. And before we get into this message, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to speak to your people. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. Jesus, you are our rock and our redeemer. We look forward to you taking us home. And as we wait, Lord, I pray that you will help us in that process of waiting that sometimes is so hard. Bless us today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. How many here like to wait? Let me see your hands. Yeah, I know. We don't like to wait, do we? we wait in line at stores, banks, in traffic. Probably the worst place to wait is in the ER because it seems like it takes the longest, and you got anxiety and worry on your plate too because you're thinking, all right, who am I sitting next to? What do they got that I don't want, you know? So life today is full of waiting, and in a time when people want something now. We get fast food. We have fast everything. We even have commercials that want us to wait, but the waiting that they tell us to do is so short. You know, you've all heard the commercials that go on and go on, and then all of a sudden, but wait, there's more. They wait probably a millisecond, or they would have lost us. But all of these aren't the wait I want to talk about today. The waiting that I want to talk about is the waiting on the Lord. And that type of waiting is not a do-nothing wait. There is something that God wants us to wait in. That is the focus of what I want to share with you today. And I want to share with you seven ways to wait upon the Lord. But before we get to those, I want to share with you out of God's Word some people through history that have had to wait. We look at Noah and his family. After they entered the ark, waiting 7 days. Can you imagine that great big door being shut? Boom. And not necessarily quiet, because you got sheep, cattle, elephants, all probably trying to talk and saying, yeah, what is going on? I do believe, though, that the God, our God, that directed those animals into that ark also gave them a peace to just hang in there. It's not going to be that bad. Because if it hadn't been God putting that peace in their minds in those animals, it could have been pretty chaotic, especially for what that ship, that ark, went through. But here we see them waiting day one, day two, day three, waiting and waiting. You know, God didn't tell them beforehand, like, okay, after 7 days, no, they were there. And that waiting was for a reason. Sister White says in the Patriarchs and Prophets that it was to test their faith. And after reading, I thought, well, okay, yeah, I get that. It's their faith was being tested for sure. But what were they going to do? They couldn't, like, open the door and just get out. That door was way too heavy. I understand it could only be moved by God, closed or opened. But nevertheless, if you put yourself in their shoes, it was definitely a test, and one that, of course, they passed. They waited, and sure enough, day 8, the clouds came, the thunder, the rain, and it must have been very terrifying for those people outside that ark. But that wasn't the only waiting that they had to do. There was 150 days of rain. That's a long wait. And even when that cleared up and the water started to recede, there was still some waiting. In my investigation, how long they were on that ship, that ark, it's right around a year. A year and 10 days I saw in another place. So that's a long time to be waiting to exit that great ship. Anyway, they were obviously successful in their wait, and God blessed them with a promise to never do that type of destruction to the earth again, at least not in that way. Abraham did some waiting, and not just a few days or a few years, some 20 years to his promised. And for a man, as we have studied just this last month, of known as a man of faith, recorded in the Hebrews, the Hall of Faith, this man, as faithful as he was, did fail in his attempts. And I have to say, that gives me some encouragement, some hope. Because I goof up, I mess up just like that. But God is faithful. He is merciful. He is just. He is in the business of saving his children. So another place we find some people waiting are Abraham's descendants, Israel. The children of Israel were waiting in Egypt for quite a while, 400 years. And then when they finally did get out, they, because of their lack of faith, they had to wait another 40 years. And most of those people didn't get to enter the promised land because of their unfaithfulness, not really knowing what to do while they're waiting. Complaining against God is not the answer. It showed that they only lost their lives in the wilderness. Well, we find them again, their descendants, many, many years later, being taken off into captivity to Babylon. And the faithful that did survive that, that were looking forward to returning, had to wait 70 years. So as you see through the Bible, there are many times where we see the people of God having to wait. And so we have to wait ourselves. We look at our early church, and when it was being formed, when Jesus was getting ready to leave, he gathered his 11 disciples together at that time and was giving them a farewell and a commission. We look at that as the Great Commission. And by the way, that Great Commission that was given to them is given to every disciple ever after them, and that includes you and me. And really, that commission is the main purpose for the wait. I'm so glad that God waited, at least until all of us were born? Yeah. God is so good, and He's waiting for those of our loved ones who still need to hear the good truth of His soon return. Well, let's look at that little group that was asked that night, that afternoon before His ascension, to go and to wait for the promised Holy Spirit. It was promised as a comforter. It was a promised as one that would be able to be with them wherever they were, not like Jesus, who could only be with them in person. This third person of the Godhead could be with them everywhere, all of them, anytime and all the time. And I don't know why we're on this one, because that's not... Oh, I skipped them. That's why we're on it. This says, "And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying." See, when they were, I was supposed to show this one when I was talking about the children of Israel having to stay that 400 years. But Joseph, as he was dying, gave this promise to his brethren, and here it is. "I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which He swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And so now we'll fast forward to where the disciples are in that room, that upper room. And I guess we won't. We're going to go jump right to the seven ways to wait upon the Lord. And, you know, this really is what my focus wanted to be. We will get to that story, by the way. Seven ways to wait upon the Lord. And I'm sure there's many more, but I chose these seven. And the first one is, acknowledge God's sovereign control of all things. In order to get good at waiting, we first need to acknowledge that God is sovereign, and nothing happens to us that catches Him by surprise. He knows all things, and even long before it happens. Friends, there's a peace that goes beyond understanding for us Christians because we acknowledge His sovereignty. Friends, He loves us so much. He knows anything that happens to us, it's according to His plan. All things work together for good to those who love Him and are called to His for His purposes. There it is. Seek spiritual strength from the Lord. Oh, there's a good one. You know, so often we try to do something on our own, in our own power, on our own abilities. God gave us each abilities, but He wants us to seek Him first. Before anything, seek Him and His strength, because it's His strength that He wants us to depend on. If we depend on ourselves, then who gets the credit? We do. Whenever we accomplish something, we need to be in the habit of giving God the glory. I remember years ago, dear little lady, her name was Dorothy Patia. She was a widow in the Grangeville Adventist Church in Idaho, and was the church I came back to when I first came back to the Lord. And I remember this lady saying, "Praise the Lord," and for things that she had done. And I remember thinking, what did God have to do with that? Oh, my friends, God had everything to do with that. That was such a godly woman. There's no doubt I will see her in heaven. We will have a wonderful friend in Dorothy Patia, all of us. You know, this is the beautifulness of God's family. We're going to get to know everybody. Maybe not the first day, maybe not the first millennia. But eventually, we'll know everyone there. Isn't that exciting? It is. It's, you know, and you know, we won't have to wait. And if we do wait, it won't feel like wait that we experience here. Our helplessness becomes especially obvious during times of calamity. Boy, is that true. In God alone do we find the strength to tread life's troubled waters. Oh, friends, when we're in a storm, let's don't look at the storm. Let's look at the God of the storms that can calm the storm at the words of peace be with you. In the calamity of the trials of life, we can come closer to God. That's what oftentimes those come into our lives, is to draw us to Him. In the Psalms, we find many prayers to God. Many of them ask God for help. For example, consider these passages and notice the relationship between waiting on God and finding strength in God. In Psalms 33:20, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's 27:14. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. All you who hope in the Lord. And that's Psalms 31:24. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me besides the still waters. That's such a famous quotation from the Psalms. And here we find that God is leading us in our lives. There's nothing that transpires that He doesn't know about. And He leads us in the areas where He needs us, where our own mission field is. Number three, waiting quietly. Now, sometimes that's easy and other times that's extremely hard. Depends on what you're waiting for. Now, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord in Lamentations. Now, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. It's from Psalms. When we are still and silent, we can best listen for God to speak to us through His Word. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits on my soul waits, and in His Word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord. More than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. Here we see David talking to himself, his soul. Soul, wait for the Lord. Sometimes we got to do that. Sometimes we just got to say, Kelly, wait, calm down. Wait quietly. You know, it's important that we do wait quietly because God speaks to us in a still, small voice. And if there's a lot of noise going on, we're not going to hear Him. If we're studying God's Word, we need to have it quiet. We need to have no distractions. We need to be not in a hurry while we're studying the Word of God. Oh, I got to get to work. Oh, I got to get this. No, just put everything else aside and slow down, wait on the Lord. Open His holy word and read it and meditate on it and pray to Him and ask Him for understanding and wait there till you hear. Now, you may not be audible. It might just be later in the day that He answers that prayer of in a quiet, still voice, or it may be just a rainbow. It may be something in nature. Maybe something that somebody else says that lifts your heart. Be watching and waiting. Number four, refrain from fear and worry. All worry and frame does is interfere with our connection with the Lord. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in You. When you're afraid, turn to God. Ask Him for that help that can come only from Him. In God, I will praise His word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. And then out of Matthew, we get that well-known verse, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his nature? Well, none of us can. But let's take that great advice and not worry about anything. God is in control. Number five, daily study the Word of God. One way we can fight fear and worry is by immersing ourselves in God's Word. This was the psalmist's undertaking in Psalms 119. He found peace and comfort in what some might consider a curious place, and that is in the law of God. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Your statutes have been in my songs, in my house, in my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. As we wait upon the Lord, we are to grow in knowledge of Him and His commandments for us, and we are to be diligent to seek Him and apply His law to our lives. And why? So that we might stay close to our God and Father and avoid drifting into error or patterns of disobedience. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Number six, seek the Lord through constant prayer. Let your hope keep you joyful. Be patient in your troubles and pray at all times. Pray without ceasing. You know, prayer is one of those things that we experience waiting on the Lord. Because, you know, the Lord answers every prayer. Sometimes it's with a yes, sometimes it's with a no, and sometimes it's with wait. But we've all experienced that. But know this, God always answers our prayers. Always. Now, sometimes there may seem a long wait in the answer of prayer, but be diligent and keep praying. Keep studying God's Word. He may reveal to you out of His Word what is blocking Him answering your prayer. I found mine in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will seek my face and pray, turn away from your sin. Oftentimes we're clinging on to the very thing that's separating us from God. Number seven, abiding in the Lord, a personal relationship with Jesus. John 15:1-2, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Some versions say cut off. The Living Bible says lop off. Pretty serious consequence. Because we know what happens when the vine is cut from the branch. Unless it's grafted in immediately, and even then it may not take, it dies. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes. There's a big difference between pruning a branch and lopping it off. One dies, the other produces more fruit. And being a... Oh, now here's where I was going. Okay, so there's your seven ways to to strengthen, to be doing something while we're waiting for the Lord. Waiting for the Lord is not a passive do-nothing thing. It's where we need to be involved in working for the Lord. We are actively connected to Him, praying without ceasing. It's a time when we have opportunity to fulfill the great commission of telling others of the good news that we experience of being in a relationship with Jesus. He's coming soon, friends, and there's people out there that are needing to know that. They're maybe even dying to know it. So here we are with the disciples after the Great Commission, and they were asked to assemble, to wait. And so here we find in Acts 1 through 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which," he said, "you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Well, those many days were 10, to be as close to accurate as we can, because when Jesus ascended, it was 40 days after his resurrection, and the time between Passover and Pentecost was 50 days. So they didn't know they had 10 days to wait, but they did. And can you imagine after that first day, waiting again? He told us to pray. Let's pray and wait. And so there was a lot that went on during that time of waiting. And it's the very thing, friends, that you and I need to be doing today, waiting for Him. Let's look at Him. And we get this from Sister White's writings, and it's entitled In One Accord. And I put waiting corporately. Waiting corporately can be encouraging. It can be uplifting. It can be something that strengthens all of us. As the disciples waited for the fulfillment of the promise, they humbled their hearts in true repentance and confessed their unbelief. Wow. That's a powerful thing to do, to repent of known sins with one another too. Now, I'm not talking about sins that nobody knows about. That's between you and God. But if there's something in the church body that is known by everyone, there needs to be a repentance that's known throughout the body, a true repentance. They reproached themselves for their misapprehension of the Savior. Like a procession, scene after scene, have His wonderful life passed before them. As they meditated upon His pure, holy life, they felt that no toil would be too hard, no sacrifice too great, if only they could bear witness in their lives to the loveliness of Christ's character. Oh, if they could but have the past 3 years to live over, they thought how differently they would act if they could only see the Master again, how earnestly they would strive to show Him how deeply they loved Him and how sincerely they sorrowed for having ever grieved Him by a word or an act of unbelief. My friends, are we there? Are we in our own hearts at that point of just so sorry for what we have done in our past with the Lord? Maybe it's something not some great sin. I'm just talking about even being passive in the Lord's work today. What He would have us, you and me, to do. Sharing God's word with somebody else. I mean, the Great Commission is for you and I. Are we out there, you know, sharing this good news? Have we come to Him on our own knees in our own private place? Here they're doing it in a corporate setting. Their hearts are moved by their Savior, and they're praying for 10 days. Putting away all differences, all desire for the supremacy. They came close together in Christian fellowship. Friends, they came together as brother and sister in Christ. They loved one another. They drew nearer and nearer to God, and as they did this, they realized what a privilege had been theirs in being permitted to associate so closely with Christ. Sadness filled their hearts as they thought of how many times they had grieved him by their slowness of comprehension, their failure to understand the lessons that, for their good, he was trying to teach them. Friends, can you imagine just for a second with me, when we're in heaven and we look back at missed opportunities that you and I have overlooked here of sharing God's word with a friend, with a loved one, or someone, we will be grieved. Friends, let's give every opportunity to the Holy Spirit and our Savior Jesus Christ by opening our mouths and sharing the love of God with others. These days of preparation were days of deep heart searching. The disciples felt their spiritual need and cried to the Lord for the holy unction that was to fit them for the work of saving soul saving. They did not ask for a blessing for themselves merely. They were weighted with the burden of the salvation of souls. They realized that the gospel was to be carried to the world, and they claimed the power that Christ had promised. Friends, are you and I, are we burdened with the souls of others? Friends, we're living in a time when, like never before, souls are more ripe for harvest. There's not as much rejection out there for some souls. And if you pray that God would lead you to a divine appointment, he will. And don't be worried about what they're going to think of you. Share what God has done. You don't have to know the Bible front and back. All you have to do is share your testimony, what God has done for you in your life, what changes have been made, and give God the glory. These are the things that win hearts. Love for one another. In Isaiah, we have this wonderful promise here. We have this saying here that, and it will be said in that day. And are we close to that day? Do you think we're close to that day? Closer than ever, brother. Say with me then, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Let's get used to saying that, because someday we're going to have that opportunity to say that. That's in Isaiah 25, verse 9. Go home. Get out your highlighter and highlight that. Put a bookmark in there. If you don't already know that by heart, on that day the Lord will give you the words. Friends, we're really close. God has given us a responsibility. That commission that he gave to those disciples on that day was for each and every one of us. They went home, they went to that upper room, and they started waiting and waiting and waiting and praying, drawing in closer, repenting, opening their hearts to one another and to God. Friends, that's what we need to do. And if you're wanting to strengthen your relationship with Jesus, you've got an opportunity to do that on Wednesday nights. If you haven't been coming already to prayer meeting, I invite you to do that. We study the Word of God. We pray together. It's strengthened the whole group that comes. And there have been groups that have, people that have decided to do that same thing in their homes. I encourage you to do that. Friends, it may be a day soon, and sooner than we think, that we're going to have house churches. This is a good time to practice. It's a good time to practice, and it's fun. It's a little piece of heaven. Well, you know, we're waiting for the Lord. But did you know our Savior's waiting for us? You know, the Savior waited for me all those years that I was in the drug culture. He waited and waited. He told me it would be 20 years. It was actually 24, but he said over 20. I at the time I heard that, and some of you know my story, I could not believe, you know, that when he reminded me of it some 24 years later. But he waited, and he waited. You know, friends, he's waited for every one of us here. He's in some time, in some place, he's touched your heart, and that's why you're here today. Well, the fact that he's waiting for us, let's wait for him in using those seven ways to wait for him. And number seven is my favorite, is because when we develop that personal relationship, all the other ones fall into place. If we seek Jesus first, not only seek him and his faith and his kingdom, but all the other things that we need in life will be added. Let's have the choristers come up and we'll sing. If you'll will stand with me, The Savior is Waiting, page 289. We're so thankful that you're a God that waits. Oh Lord, I pray that you instill in each of our hearts while we're waiting the things that you would have us to do to help others find you. Oh Father, thank you. Bless us now today as we leave this place and bring us back again together. Praising your name in Jesus' precious name. Amen.